Are you there?
Blog Talk Radio.
52-yard try from the near hash mark to tie the game. 5 seconds left. Reyes the holder. Burns the snapper. It's back. Hold down. Kick is up. And it's plenty long. It's good! It's good! The Red Raiders have tied this game. They've come back from 38-7 down and send it into overtime.
Crabtree on the jailbreak. Here he goes. The 40, 35, 30, 25, 20. Forget it. Five. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
High snap, but he gets it away cleanly, although it's a wobbly kick. Morris takes it as 14. Sidestep one defender. He's got room to the 25, 30, 35, 40. Just the kicker to beat. The 40, 30, 25, 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
8 seconds left. They got one timeout, so there's time to make one play to the middle of the field and call a timeout to set up a try, a field goal try. So Harrell in the shotgun from the 28. The throw goes to the right side for Crabtree. It's caught.
He breaks. Touchdown, Red Raiders.
Unbelievable.
Touchdown, Red Raiders. Michael Crabtree has done it. Michael Crabtree makes the catch at the five, breaks the tackle, and scores.
There's still 1 second on the clock for Texas Tech. Unbelievable, Michael Crabtree.
Oh, my gosh, can you believe that?
What's up, everybody? Welcome into another edition of the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay, and as always, joined by Matt Clare, and got several things to get to tonight, and they're going to have two guests on with us tonight, the second of which will be, here in a little bit, will be Weston Skeet tight end and Tech commit Dante Coleman. But first off, we have South Oak Cliff four-star linebacker Marvin Terry on with us. So I guess first off, thanks so much for coming on with us, man, and just kind of how's everything going for you?
It's going pretty well for me. I had just picked up another offer from K-State yesterday, so I'm very proud about that.
Congratulations. How many offers are you up to now, Marvin?
This is my 13th one.
13th. And I know, you know, we have you as outside linebacker. Is that primarily the position that most coaches are recruiting you at, rush in, outside linebacker type?
Yes, sir. They recruit me more like a jack backer, you know.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool. Well, I guess just for you, man. Just how's everything kind of been going in general this spring? You know, with recruiting, I guess. You know, just kind of how do you feel like, you know, things have been going overall?
It's been going pretty well. You know, getting in the weight room, building a better relationship with our new coaches and head coach, and, you know, just grinding.
And
right.
Talking about off season, talking about grinding, what's, before we forget, what's your current height and weight, Marvin?
6'2". I just weighed a while ago, 217. When I eat real good, it's 220, you know.
There you go. Depending on that, huh? Well,
yeah.
We wanted to invite you on tonight because, obviously, we've been in touch because Texas Tech has been involved in your recruitment. And if I remember correctly, they were one of your very first offers, even back before last season. So talk to us a little more about Texas Tech and maybe even the coaches that you connect with from Texas Tech on a day-to-day or weekly basis.
I really grown to love Texas Tech. I really, you know, that was my first school to offer me. And Coach Morris and them just opened their wings up to me, you know, made me feel very at home, along with Coach Jones, you know, my former head coach. And Texas Tech on my top five. And hopefully I get to make another trip down there. I'm supposed to be attending the spring game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to be down there a lot.
Okay.
Okay.
And You mentioned the fact that you did get to visit. Can you tell us a little bit more about the visit? I mean, was that, you know, something that you know, you were able to learn a lot about the campus, maybe a little more about the program once you're in town?
Yes, sir. It's a it's a very good school. I mean, like the people that I had, I knew some people there from a while back. One of my friend's sisters goes there. I was walking around with her. She was showing me around, and it was just very exciting for me. You know, it was my first time being on Texas Tech campus, so I really learned a lot about the school, and got to hang out with my coach.
Right. Okay. And I guess, you know, since you were there, you know, over spring break and when Texas Tech was having spring break, you know, those guys didn't have spring practice or anything like that going on. But I guess when you were there, you know, what did you just kind of learn about, you know, their new defense and just kind of everything that was going into it?
Yes, I did get a chance to go talk to the linebackers coach, and we went over the defensive scheme, and he actually taught me a couple moves that I'm going to use in the spring game and along with the season and playoffs. So he actually got some quarterbacks in some trouble more than they already were.
Right. I guess just kind of, you know, speaking on that, man, I guess you're talking about the linebackers coach. So I guess was it Coach Haverty or Coach Spavital that you're talking about?
Repeat that.
Yeah, I guess you said you got to talk to, you know, the linebackers coach there at Texas Tech a little bit. So was it Coach Haverty or Coach Spavital? I guess which coach did you kind of speak to about that?
Coach. I can't recall his name.
That's okay.
No, you're good, man.
That's okay.
No worries. No worries at all.
Well, you brought it up a
go
few
ahead,
times. I'm sorry. You brought it up a few times, Marvin. Now, obviously, Coach Jones was your head coach at South Oak Cliff, and you guys probably spent a lot of time together. And obviously, he got an opportunity this offseason to join the Texas Tech staff now as director of player personnel. So, you know, what has Coach Jones said to you? And I guess, you know, what did he say to you whenever he initially told you about the opportunity with Texas Tech?
He told me that I could actually turn the program along with some of my other teammates that's coming in when I come in. I can make a big impact on the team. And he also told me, you know, he takes on, like, you know, how your grades look. You know, you need that to get up here with me and stuff like that. And he just – and, like, because we have a real good relationship, so it's always a laugh when I see him, you know. Like, I always get a good laugh.
Right. And, you know, man, like you said, you know, you have two guys, you know, that were your teammates this last year that are going out there to Texas Tech, you know, with JF and Jameel. So I guess just kind of, you know, how good of friends are you with those guys, and, you know, how much are you going to talk to them about Tech?
Them are my boys. They are funny. funny. We have a great relationship together. We talk about Tech all the time. Every time I see him, Jameel talking about, when you going to do it? When you going to do it? I'm like, I just started laughing. And he actually wanted me to go down there with him. I didn't get a chance to. But every time I see him, we talking about Texas Tech, you know, laughing, joking around.
Yeah.
And JL.
Cool.
Now, you mentioned the top five earlier. Who are the other schools that make up your top five right now, Marvin?
Texas Tech. These are not in order. Texas Tech, OU, y'all ready for the list?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I put you on the spot like
Texas
that. I didn't know.
OU, TCU, UCLA, and Wisconsin.
Okay.
All right.
And
boom.
You talked about making you know, visits, and we've talked about Tech a lot, but what are some of the other schools you've had a chance to visit, and what does it look like for you? You already have a top five, so are you trying to make a decision maybe before the season, after, whenever it feels right? I mean, what's the update with you?
I visited OU, OSU. I really haven't got the chance to visit with anybody else besides Tech.
Mm-hmm.
and I think I'm going to wait. It'll probably be the spring. It'll probably not. It just depends. Like you said, like, it depends on if it feels right, you know, if I go there and I just feel like, you know, I got to do it right then and now. I will. But as of right now, no.
Just letting it play out. Now, when you were here at Tech, you mentioned talking with the coaches and even learning a few moves, and I'm sure they showed you at least some game tape or some practice film. But did they talk to you about, you know, really the depth that they have and the opportunity that there is on this defense? I mean, have they kind of spelled it out for you and told you how much they need you on the roster?
Yes, sir. They actually told me. Coach Jones actually showed me, a roster of all the seniors and people that's going to be ahead of me when I come and how when can I play, you know, and I can play really. Well, as soon as I get in, I can play if I put the extra work in, you know.
Right.
Okay. Well, Will, that's cool. That's all I have, man. Do you have any other questions?
No, I didn't have anything else really. I guess for the rest of the spring for you, Marvin. I guess you might just be planning on. I guess just kind of what are your plans for the rest of the spring and just kind of how's the off season going?
Repeat that.
Sorry, man. I said what are kind of your just kind of general plans for the rest of the spring? Just what all do you kind of have going on and. Kind of how's the off season going and all that kind of stuff?
My off season is going well. I had currently sprained my ankle. I'm recovering from that. You know, but other than that, it's been good. Just, you know, chilling, working hard.
Okay.
That's it.
Well, cool. Good deal, man. Well, again, Marvin, thanks so much for coming on with us, man. Really appreciate it. And, hope you have a good rest of your week. And like I said, man, thanks again for coming on.
All right, you too. Y'all have a good week, too.
Thanks, Marvin.
All right.
See you, bud.
Thanks, Marvin.
All right. Take care.
Once again, that was a South Oak Cliff four-star linebacker, Marvin Terry. And like he said, man, you know, he got to come out here over spring break. And, you know, while he didn't get to see anything as far as them practicing or scrimmaging or, you know, get to kind of see the day-to-day, I think, from talking to him, I think he really had a great visit.
Yeah, I mean, it sounded like he has a really good relationship with the coaching staff. And, you know, as I mentioned, I didn't remember if Tech was number one offer or, number two, but I knew they were one of the first.
Yeah.
And so, it sounded like that meant a lot to him, and it sounds like him and Coach Morris have been in contact for a while. But I thought most importantly, you know, what he had to say about Coach Jones and what he had to say about his teammates already signed with Texas Tech. You know, I mean, I'm sure that has a lot of staying power. And if they can continue to recruit him hard, I mean, I feel like just initial thoughts were that sounded really good for Texas Tech in terms of their chances right now. I mean, I feel like everything that I've read mostly mentions Texas Tech and Oklahoma because, you know, whether it was putting him on the spot or just him, you know, struggling to think of the other programs, he listed Texas Tech and Oklahoma pretty quickly and took him a while to think of some others. So, you know, anything can happen and new offers can come in, but I think they sit in a pretty good position with him right now.
No, absolutely. And like you said, I think it's, you know, Sooners, Red Raiders kind of at the top right now. And I think a lot of that probably has to do with that's, you know, two of the places that he's visited and hadn't really been anywhere else other than OSU so far. But yeah, I think here in as far as Texas Tech, I think they're in about as good of a position as they could be with a guy like this. And he's a guy, you know, that he's in a neat position at this point, you know, especially since he's saying, you know, they want him as one of these outside linebacker rush-in guys, which kind of now in this in Coach Gibbs' defense is more of kind of a 4-3 end, but they stand up and back off and do some kind of stuff like that, how Pete Robertson does.
That's what he meant by the Jack Backer.
Yeah, I think that's what he meant by Jack Backer. Yeah, I think a lot of people call it that, and some people will call it Bandit, and some people call it – I mean, it's just got a lot of different names, just kind of depending on where you go. But yeah, like I said, I think it's kind of defined as a 4-3 as far as how Coach Gibbs calls it. But it's really, I mean, a mix of 4-3, 3-4. You're going to move around a lot. But for him, I think that's, you know, a really good role for him as far as what he's looking for and what he's trying to do. Just kind of moving on, I guess, from, you know, from Marvin, speaking of, you know, Dallas and the Dallas area, you and I both were out at Robles Camp out in Dallas over the weekend, and I know I really enjoyed getting to go out there and see so many quality guys compete. I get to go out to some camps, don't get to go out to a lot, so it was a lot of fun for me just to see so many talented guys out there. No, like I said, I know you do a lot more, and you were out in Houston on Saturday and then Dallas on Sunday, but I guess, you know, specifically with Dallas, man, just what were your kind of initial thoughts on what you saw in Dallas whenever we were out there?
Well, we don't have to go too far from Marvin Terry. I know he wasn't able to make it on the day, but I think you and I both agreed that one of the next offers in the secondary needs to go back over to South Oak Cliff to Juice Parker, who's a really, really smooth defensive back. And it's another kid who's starting to hear from Texas Tech as well. I looked up in the system. I don't know why the kid doesn't have double-digit offers just from seeing him in person and what he's been able to put on tape. And I don't know. Maybe it's because sometimes when maybe when there are other talented seniors ahead of you, or maybe it was playing time or whatever it was. But I mean, he was easily one of the top three defensive backs in the whole camp. And I know that you and I agree. He's just really smooth, really effortless, and another kid that's on the radar now. I think that when you look at the calendar now, we flip to April, and in 2 weeks from today, around the 15th, the coaches are back on the road. Here in Texas, California, Louisiana, you name it. I mean, they're hitting the road. They're seeing kids in person. I think that's very important to follow right now as a fan, because we talked about it a lot before signing day. Coach Gibbs likes to see some of these men. So while they're out and about, it'll be interesting to see who he goes to see first, who he goes to see, you know, so on and so forth, and see who starts getting offers.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure. And kind of like you said, you know, there were a handful of guys, you know, that I can just think off the top of my head as far as guys that really, really just stuck out to me and made a big impression on me. And 100% totally agree with you that Juice was one of the best players I saw all day on Sunday. And I'll tell you, whenever you and I were sitting there with, you know, a couple other guys that are, you know, analysts analysts for Rivals for other sites, I think you and I and a couple other guys agreed that Juice was easily the corner that I spotted first out of all of them as far as running through drills before they started one-on-ones. And he's just so smooth and effortless as far as, you know, turning, cutting, all that kind of stuff. I can't put it into words if you haven't seen it, really. It's just like on another level as far as what he looks like. But loved what I saw out of him, and he's a guy that I think Texas Tech should have offered yesterday. And I think you totally agree with that. Another guy that really, really stuck out to me as far as skill guys, and he does have a Tech offer, that was 2017 Cedar Hill wide receiver Jalen Jackson. And he's not like a big guy by any means, but he is electric and can make cuts and is fast and was just getting by guys all day.
Yeah, I thought technically he was, just aside from total package, I mean, with speed and movement, I thought he was only second behind Devin Duvernay, who just really lived up to the billing. But, yeah, I mean, in terms of 2017s, I think he was the best receiver out there. So, I guess going along that theme of receivers, I mentioned Duvernay. There's not much to say there. I mean, everybody knows the MO, it's speed, and he's just, I don't know. I mean, once he decides to kind of make that cut, he's really good in and out of that, and then he just turned up field. And I think he had like 3 to 4 feet of separation.
Yeah.
Just boom, like that. But the other two that stood out were obviously TJ Vasher. I thought that, you know, obviously you can really tell he's a basketball player because just his body's
wiry.
Still young. Yeah, he's wiry. But if he kind of matures at the college level into a program and, you know, add some weight, I think he's going to be a pretty interesting prospect, as well as I think it's D. Anderson from West Mesquite. And both of them are, I put them kind of on the same, you know, D's a little bit more filled out, a little bit more athletic in my opinion, but I thought both of them were really impressive prospects. There was a lot of kids there at the camp at the receiver. I mean, I think
for
that
sure
might have been one of the bigger groups.
No, yeah, and I agree. And I think as far as receivers and DBs go, a couple of the other guys that I like as far as DBs, Jalen Maiden, I'm sorry. He's already kind of a known quantity, obviously. And then you're going to have to help me. What's the kid's name that won the DB MVP? It's Lamarcus.
I don't know. I forget. I don't have it right.
You know who I'm talking about.
Right. I do know who you're talking about. I just can't recall the name.
Right. He was really good, and those were kind of the three. Those two and then Juice Parker were kind of the three DBs that really stuck out to me. And that was really kind of it as far as guys that were just kind of like the tier above everybody else.
I thought the kid from South Grand Prairie, Greg Eisworth, I thought he stood out a little bit.
Yeah.
Just from a turn in his hips. And like, there are guys out there who you could tell were like, okay, I'm going up against, you know, the best of the best, and I got to do everything perfect. And then there are guys that are like, you could tell they do it all the time. So I think he was pretty calm and collected and just did his thing. So that's what I noticed about him. And he's starting to hear from the tech staff a little bit. That's why I said it'll be interesting to kind of see what shakes out over the next few weeks when they get out there on the road. But, yeah, I mean, there's – I don't know. I bet we could keep going position by position.
Yeah, we could.
I mean, there's just like – there you can't imagine. I mean, it's so funny because there's two of us there. If even with two of us and just laser focus, you still couldn't talk to every kid. I mean, there's just so much going on. But, yeah, I mean, I guess other than that, we have to talk about De'Leon Ward, who, in my opinion, you know, I guess I don't know exactly what I was expecting, but I thought he was a little thicker than I expected, you know, a little bit more, I guess, filled out in his frame. And, you know, something that on tape you think he's a little bit of a smaller, shorter, compact guy, but he actually seemed pretty big to me. I don't know about you.
No, I would agree with that. And, you know, he confirmed, you know, everything I saw on tape about him. As far as, you know, being a guy that is kind of DeAndre Washington 2.0 as far as, you know, kind of how he's built. But he might be, like you said, a little bit bigger than DeAndre was at, you know, 17, 18 years old. But, yeah, I think he confirmed everything I thought about him as far as being a guy that can make, you know, kind of those jump cuts and is real good at, you know, moving around in small, you know, small areas of space. And really, really liked what I saw from him. The other tech commit that was there, obviously, is 2017 offensive guard Tyler Castaneda. And I know whenever they get to offensive line and defensive line one-on-ones, I know that for you and I, that's probably our favorite part of any kind of, you know, camp that we get to go to. But I thought he really, really, really stood out as the camp went on. I think he kind of got off to a little bit of a rough start. But I think once he kind of settled in, he really fought really well and leveraged well, moved well, and really stood up well against some of the best defensive tackles and ends there.
Well, yeah, I mean, okay, so for example, for anyone that maybe hasn't been to one of these or doesn't know what we're talking about, I mean,
right.
It goes like this goes back to like gladiator type stuff, and I think that's why everybody loves it so much. I mean, you've got, you know, you hear the skin smacking, you've got scratches and tempers and, you know, just competitive juices swelling. But really, I mean, these guys line up and there's no order to it. Like, oh, you're next. Sorry, bud. Like, it's everybody's jumping in. Like, they're ready to get back in there. I mean, all these guys are clearly some of the more, I guess, higher talented, highly recruited kids around that, you know, rich recruiting area. We were officially in the I-20 corridor, by the way. But anyway, point being is, you know, what my point was driving there was, you know, you had to jump in, and I had to, you know, go over to Tyler and say, hey, man, you just got to jump in there, because he was just kind of, you know, being a little timid about it. But once he did, once he got that first rep out of the way, I mean, he went up against, his first one was against Chris Daniels, who's a top 100 recruit in the 2016 class, and he stonewalled him. And then what they do is they go twice. And the second time, Chris got a little further on him. But what he did is he kept good leverage and he kept his hands in front of him. He didn't let him go one way or the other. And then after that, I think he settled in big time and got some more confidence. And he went up against Marvin Wilson, who's another Rivals 100 guy, and he did very well against him. I mean,
Kendall Jones? Did he go against Kendall Jones?
I didn't remember seeing that rep, but it's like, I mean, I'm trying to describe this so that people can understand. I mean, we don't know who they are unless we, like, recognize or know them before. They have numbers and we have rosters, but everything's happening pretty quickly, and we're trying to identify people that, you know, we know and also that we want to learn about, too. So you don't watch every single rep, but those are two that I distinctly remember because I knew from seeing Marvin Wilson at camps, like, he's just a dominant lineman. So
he is just a big old boy.
Yeah, I mean, you saw, I mean, I don't need to tell you, but Marvin Wilson is serious.
Well, yeah, and on top of that, he took more reps than any other player on the entire field. And I think, and for those that don't know, he's a guy that from Bel Air Episcopal down in Houston that holds a tech offer and going to be a Rivals 100 type defensive tackle. But he was a guy that just got in there and just, you know, except for the top group of offensive linemen, he really kind of dominated everybody there.
Well, you know what's crazy about that is he was at the Nike camp in New Orleans the day before.
The day before, yeah. Which all that says to me is that's a guy that wants to compete, and I absolutely love that because I know there were guys that were at the Nike camp in New Orleans the day before too, and they just didn't show up. And from what I kind of gathered, it's because, you know, those guys were kind of spent from the day before. But I think it says a lot about that guy, the fact that he was out there and really got after it. I guess as far as offensive and defensive linemen, another guy that really stuck out to me, and he's a guy that while Tech's not recruiting him, every single one of you needs to go look up Kendall Jones as soon as you get done listening to this podcast, because he is six. He measured in at the camp at 6'5", 366. And again, 6'5", 366. That is not a typo error, anything like that. And there's very little of that is fat. Like, that is,
yeah.
I can't describe what he looks like if you haven't ever seen him in person. Like, he is a guy that
looks 35.
He looks like the Hulk.
Yeah.
Like,
he doesn't,
you know,
look like
saying,
a high school junior.
Does.
Yeah.
No, he doesn't look like some guys in the NFL. He's a monster.
Yeah. No, that guy is on the level. I mean, you could tell, like, he might not even have been going 100%. And then another thing about these camps is you say to yourself, well, what's he like when he gets those pads on then, you know, because then you go a little harder. But, hey, real quick before, I think we're right up against an interview here with new Texas Tech tight end commit Dante Coleman. But I want to get real quick your thoughts on watching Jalen Hurts in person.
I thought Jalen did very, very well. He confirmed everything I thought about him. He's got a good arm. Good mechanics as far as his throwing motion, as far as his footwork, all that. I thought he was very accurate. And some of the people need to realize in those situations, just like the NFL draft, those guys aren't throwing to receivers they're familiar with at all. So you're kind of more looking so for them to throw the ball, you know, where they would want it normally, if that makes sense. You're throwing to a spot instead of really throwing to a guy as much. And I thought he was spot on and really enjoyed – what I saw from him as far as his mechanics, like I said, how he was throwing. I thought he looked really good. The only thing you obviously don't get to see is you don't get to see him run around and scramble like he'll do. But I thought he was really, really good. What were your thoughts?
Oh, my thoughts were what I gathered was, you know, definitely a lot of quiet confidence. He's not the most boisterous kid, but he's competitive and, you know, he's communicating well. And I know that, you know, maybe some people get into this stuff or not, but, you know, the sports science stuff they do on cadence and how important it is. I mean, you know, he was, you know, you could tell that was real important to him and you could hear him from across the field. So I just thought he just took command of things and was very, you know, having fun, but also real confident in his abilities. And, you know, he won the MVP last year, didn't get to win this year. You know, I guess somebody else had a better day, but definitely one of the top three quarterbacks there. And honestly, there was the Oregon commit who just moved from Allen, and I thought that he was, I don't know, in my opinion, easily better than him. I haven't watched the other kid play live or been on tape, but just from a throwing and mechanics perspective, you know, I thought that as well. He does have a little hitch where he kind of throws over his shoulder a little bit. But, I mean, as long as he's accurate, I think that that's all that matters.
No, absolutely, and there will be things in guys' throws that some guys will just never change. But if he's getting the ball where you want it and, you know, there's nothing as far as you worry about, well, is this going to be a problem down the road with him trying to get a ball on this spot, I think you're good. As far as other guys at the actual camp, another guy I was really, really impressed with was Terry Wilson from Delphi, Oklahoma, who's a guy that I think a lot of people don't really know much about, and he was as impressive as – I don't know that he was as good as Jalen, but I thought he was the second guy there as far as the quarterbacks. You want to talk about a guy that can put some dip on the ball and is just out there slinging it, That's him. And I talked to a couple guys that work up in Oklahoma, a couple guys we work with that work for the OU site, and they know quite a bit about him, and they said that he's just kind of – he kind of is relied on as far as the whole offense. He's just kind of run around and do whatever for them to move the ball. So he hasn't really developed a whole lot as a quarterback, but you can just see all of the natural stuff there. He was the guy I really liked. I know
yeah.
you liked too.
He was physically impressive for sure. And you know, not taking anything away from Seth Green, who's the Oregon commit that
right.
just moved to Dallas. He was a very very well put together prospect as well. But yeah, just in you know, speaking of when the coaches are out and about, that's when Terry's Mark's name first came up for me. Is I want to say 102 of the coaches stopped by his school. But yeah, I mean, he just looks the part, and you can tell that. I definitely think he's one of those guys that's not going to be cast away to like athlete or something. He's definitely going to get a shot to play quarterback.
No, he's a quarterback. That's a guy, seeing him throw, that's a quarterback. That's not a guy who's an athlete. I'm trying to think here off the top of my head who else really stuck out to me that we watched. I guess as far as other Tech targets that we saw there, there were a couple other offensive linemen there. Gio Pancotti, who I put an interview up with earlier, I guess today's Wednesday, so on Wednesday. I thought, you know, he moved really well. He's got to get better with hand placement, but I liked what he did in some of his reps. I thought Chris Owens was really, really good, too, as far as Tech offers go. Really liked how he anchored and set. And then I'm trying to think who else. Oh, a guy that I know is on Tech's radar for 2017 that you and I talked about and a lot of other guys talked about there is Alito tackle. Like I said, he's 2017, Alito tackle. Wes Harris, who, in my opinion,
yep.
he was the second most impressive guy behind Greg Little there.
Yeah, he did very well. I mean, the only other guy I'd say in front of him is maybe Rowdy Frederick, but just from a physicality
yeah.
standpoint, technique-wise, Wes certainly made it look easy. That's another one of those kids that just sits down. When we talk about offensive linemen having good bend, definitely Castaneda and Harris were two 2017 prospects who are still pups, but have good size and they're still growing. And I was going to say, you mentioned Chris Owens. I mean, that's a guy that is getting new offers every single day. And I could see why, because he had all that technique and he had all that good hand placement.
Mm-hmm.
But in my opinion, you could tell he's still growing too. I mean, he doesn't look like he's done, you know, sprouting up a little bit. You know, he still looked a little, you know, young in the face and even in the body. But, I mean, he was taking care of anybody and everybody.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And speaking of young, there were two 2018 prospects there on the defensive line and offensive line. Both of them are from Faraday, Louisiana. And, you know, you bring in 2018 guys to these camps, and I think everybody always wonders, you're like, man, is he really old enough to be here and be competing in something like this? I'm telling you right now that Faraday, 2018 offensive tackle, Darius, I don't remember know exactly how you pronounce it. I know it's the Darius is his first name, but he goes by Dare, but I don't know how he pronounces it. But Zadarius Rosenthal, and I know you know exactly who I'm talking about, Matt. He's like 6'7", 6'8", played right tackle the whole time, and just smooth as can be, just moving around. And
yeah.
He doesn't really know what he's doing yet, but you can just tell that it's there as far as a guy who could be like an elite, and I mean like elite offensive tackle.
Yeah, he's got to be like, I don't know what they're feeding these kids these days. He's got to be 15 years old, you know, 6'8", 200-something pounds. I mean, that was insane. That one was like, hey, did you see that kid? Hey, did you see that kid? And it's like the 10
yeah.
and we're standing to each other like, oh, yeah, who's that? You know, so, but yeah, another kid that made it look kind of easy, and that's scary thinking that he has 2 years left.
Right.
Another guy, I think you mentioned it a little bit, but, I mean, maybe – you know, obviously Tech's not involved, but Greg Little's another guy. You can just tell why he's a five-star. I mean, just did a really good job. The only bummer about Sunday for me was that I was really looking forward to watch Jack Anderson in person again, but he came down
yep.
with whatever bugs going around and had to call it a day. But he'll be around, and he's still getting big offers. So we'll see what happens with him. I had a feeling that was a kid that could really make a name for himself out there.
Yeah.
Especially based on what I've seen and what I've watched of him on tape.
No, absolutely. I know you and I both texted back with Jack quite a bit, and you know, I texted him that morning, you know, and I was like, hey, man, heard you weren't going to be here yet. And he told me, you know, he was really disappointed that he wasn't going to get to compete at all. And I know that was a bummer for him. And he's a guy that's gone out and I think done really well in these kind of situations as far as going out just kind of one-on-one to compete with guys, even just some kind of older guys that were just competing overall. Another couple of guys that I really, really was impressed with all on the defensive line, Matt, I know you talked to him quite a bit. That'd be Allen, defensive end / defensive tackle. I don't know where he's going to end up. That'd be Levi, and I don't know exactly how to pronounce it. You're going to have to help me out later with it. Levi Onwuzurikai, who's a guy that I was really, really impressed with as far as defensive ends, and was really, really happy with kind of where, you know, he was. But anyway, actually, we've got our next guest on. I just realized that, and I probably have been ignoring him, so that's my fault. But anyway, like I said, got Weston Keith tied in and tech commit Dante Coleman on, man. Sorry for making you wait, man. But hey,
yeah.
I guess yeah. Kind of how you doing, man?
I'm doing good.
Good. You said, this is Matt, you said you had 7-on-7 tonight?
Yeah, we had 7-on-7 tonight. You know, I'm just getting in, you know.
Got to work on those routes now.
How 7-on-7 go?
Yeah, man. Yeah, just working on routes.
It went good. We played with Ski Horn, and it went actually, you know, it went good. You know, definitely got some things to improve on.
Well, we wanted to invite you onto the podcast, man. We were hoping to see you at Rivals Camp, but I know that didn't work out. So we wanted to talk to you because that was the plan, was to just talk to you a little bit more there. But obviously the big news in your world these days is that about a week ago or so, you committed to Texas Tech. So just wanted to kind of have a conversation with you about, you know, why you decided to choose Texas Tech and, you know, how it feels now a week later when you say Dante Coleman, Texas Tech commit.
It was crazy, you know, when I committed to Texas Tech, you know, really after that, it's like really everybody just started jumping off, you know. That Tuesday after I committed, you know, I had Texas offer, and, you know, it's just like, it's just out of everybody recruiting harder now. So, you know, it's interesting.
Yeah. What is the phrase? Now I'm going to mess it up, but, I guess the heart grows fonder or something. I don't know. What did you do? Did you talk to your family and then give the coaching staff a call? Like, tell us how that conversation went, and, you know, were they surprised? Well, were they cheering? You know, what happened?
Well, you know, I had took the Texas Tech Junior Day on March 7th, and, you know, I had went out there with my people, and, you know, it was a situation where, you know, they fell in love with it just as much as I did. And, you know, as I'm going around, they treated us right. They treated us like we was family. You know, they treated us like we was already part of the team. And, you know, with that going on, we was out there for spring practice. And, you know, what they've been saying, basically what they've been saying, and as I've been doing my research and studying, you know, they put out Jason Morrow, plays for the New York Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, basically he was a big piece of the offense. And with him departing from Texas Tech, it kind of took a downfall for them without that piece. And that's basically why I come in at, you know, and be that main piece, catch up with 100-something balls a season over 1,000 yards. So, you know, that's basically what I'm coming in. And, you know, I had seen a spring practice, but they didn't really have a guy that was really doing that, a guy like me out there in my position. And so, you know, that's what the conversation was. You know, I come in and do that. And so I was like, you know, I put some thought into it, talked to my people about it. And, you know, when I was ready, on the 21st, I made it happen. And, you know, I hit up. First, I talked to my position coach about it. Then I talked to Coach Jones at Texas Tech about it. And that's when I really gave everybody a call that, you know, we made it happen.
Well, that's cool. What was their reaction?
Right. Oh, say it again?
Oh, I said that. I said that's cool. That's cool. What was the coach's reaction when you told him?
Well, I was fired up, especially when I got a chance to talk to Coach Kingsbury. He was fired up. When I talked to Coach Morris, they was all fired up, man. And it's like, when I did it, man, Raider Nation went crazy for me, and they still going crazy for me even to this day. And now that I'm committed, man, it's like everybody, even though, you know, the big dogs are starting to come out and recruit and offer now, but it's nothing like Raider Nation, man. You know, Raider Nation really just been, it's been showing me love ever since, and just been welcoming me. So that's how that went.
Right. And, you know, you said whenever you went out there, you've obviously made some pretty, you know, big relationships with the coaches. So, Coach Morris, just kind of talk about him, man. He kind of your boy?
Yeah, Coach Morris is my dude. Coach Morris is my dude. And me and Coach Morris, we had a one-on-one out there when I was out there. You know, me and him had a one-on-one. You know, he basically broke down, showed me a cut-up of my film, and basically compared it to a Marvel film. And that was really, you know, that was a goal. And, you know, with that, man, I was just like, man, I can really come here and do something special here. And, you know, a lot of people, they kind of talk down on it. But, you know, with me, man, it's different, man. I believe in the program, and that's what that is. And so I'm just ready to get there and get to work. You know, I gotta have a good senior year. But, you know, I'm still ready to get down there and get to work.
Right. And I guess just kind of, like you said, man, you know, you believe in the program. So I guess what is it that has just kind of made you, you know, kind of believe in the program?
Well, you know, from Texas Tech, man, it's a young team. And, you know, I looked at the 2015 class, you know, and I talked to a lot of guys from the 2015 class. You know, we all talk. And, you know, they got a good 2015 class coming, man. And we're working on the 2016 class. It's gonna be something nice, and we're gonna get back to that level. And we had a downfall, we had a bad year, man, but we're gonna get back up there. So just they don't see our vision.
Well, it's good to hear. So that was actually gonna be one of my next questions, and you kind of led into it there. But obviously, you've talked about, you know, helping with the 2016 class, and I noticed, you know, are you friends with, like, Gene DeLance or some of these other guys up in that, you know, Mesquite area?
Yeah.
Who have you been kind of talking to?
Yeah, me and Gene, man. Me and Gene, we didn't, through the whole recruiting process, man, we didn't got real tight. Gene, you know, I go to West Mesquite, Gene goes to North Mesquite, and, you know, kind of develop a relationship. And, you know, Gene, I'm working on He answered it, so hopefully we could get him in love with
it. How does that feel to kind of know that, you know, obviously your process isn't, you know, official until signing day, but, and as you mentioned, other schools are still recruiting you hard, but how does it feel to kind of maybe turn the tables and start to maybe recruit other recruits? I mean, is that a different feeling for you?
Yeah, it's a good feeling, because, like, ever since I committed, it's like now boys looking at, you know, because I was a big piece of Texas Tech, you know, out of all the offers I had from TCU to Texas to State, man, like nobody really expected that I would choose, you know, really Tech over them. It's really over everybody I had. And so with that being said, it's like ever since I committed, it's like now it's like boys looking at us, they looking at us, and, you know, they kind of like, okay, they willing, they interested, and they level interest is going up. And a lot of boys, man, they interested, you know, as I'm talking to them, they real interested in, you know, just trying to see, I'm trying to get them there.
Yeah. Well, I don't really have any other specific questions. I just wanted to talk to you again.
Yeah.
The commitment. But, Will, what else do you have, man? I'm sure you got some tight end or X and O questions for Dante here.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to ask you, man, you know, whenever I watch your film, you know, most guys talk about, you know, like you said, man, you know, the Jason Morrow role, you know, catching all the passes. But, hey, man, I'm going to give you some props. You like to hit some people, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess just talk about that, man, you know, kind of, you know, being a guy that, like I said, even on your film, you know, you block people as a tight end. So talk about being a guy that's not just a threat as a receiver.
It's a gift, man. It's a gift of being versatile. you know, a lot of people, you know, as I've been going through recruiting, and it's just been wild, and it gets crazy sometimes. And you know, everybody wants a versatile guy. And you know, with me, with that being the case, you basically, man, you never know where I'm going to line up on the field. You know, you might see, I might line up in the slot, I might line up at tight end. You know, but on my field, you haven't really seen me outside receiver yet. And so, you know, you never know where I might line up. So, you know, it's definitely going to create up a matchup problem in the middle, or really anywhere. And so,
I'd say with you in the slot and maybe D on the outside. I don't know how many defensive coordinators want to deal with that.
Oh yeah. It's not going to go too good. We got both of us on the field at the same time.
Well, you know, that's all I have for you, man. I guess, Matt, you have anything else, or are you good, man?
No, that was it. I just want to say thanks again. I know that you just got out of your 7-on-7, and we do these today. I know there's several months left, but we do these podcasts. We try to do one once a week, but definitely a few a month. So hopefully this won't be your last time, but definitely appreciated your first time and hope you enjoyed yourself, Dante.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Dante.
Thanks.
All right, thank you.
Once again, that's Tech commit and West Mesquite tight end Dante Coleman. And I think just hearing him talk right there, I think I know there have been some people that have been telling me, you know, that they're like, I think he might, you know, do something else, go somewhere else. But to me, he sounds like a Texas Tech Red Raider, Matt.
Yeah, no, I mean, me too. You never know. I mean, I wasn't going to say anything like that
because
it's April 1st. But, you know, I think that the more – he talked about it, and the way he explained it, it makes a lot of sense. And I mean, I don't know, for me, I know it's an overused word, but one thing I took away from that was a little bit of swagger. I don't know about you.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And I think he's a guy that – and people want to think – and people, some people think swagger is a bad thing. I think as far as – and it's a word that, you know, I feel like we kind of overuse sometimes, but – whenever swagger is what it's supposed to be, you know, you're a guy that's confident, you believe in what you can do, and you're not going to, you know, let anybody tell you you can't do it, which is exactly what I get from Dante. I think he understands what he is as far as a player, and that's a damn good one as far as what he has down the road, I think. I really like everything he had to say there. I think he understands what he needs to do and where he's at as a player. And, I'm just honestly really excited to see what he kind of develops into here, you know, over, you know, the rest of the spring, this summer, and what he does as a senior, because there's just not a ton of film on him as a junior as far as playing tight end, you know.
Right, and that's why I really wanted to see him in person. But again, from really everything that we hear, you know, he's a very impressive prospect, and I'll be interested to, you know, see how that senior season does go. And I know that, you know, everyone involved with Tech recruiting and including the fans and the coach and everything, I'm sure they want to see the big uglies, the offensive linemen and the defensive linemen, start to commit to this class. But when you look at it on April 1st and you see a 5.7 running back from a large program and right smack dab in the middle of Dallas, and now you've got your first tight end commit since Jason Morrow in 2011, and it happens to be a pretty good prospect with a healthy offer list, and you still got a four-star defensive back who's a two-time All-State player. So, I mean, you've got a good core of players right now. And then, as Dante said, I mean, he feels himself, you know, that, you know, their recruiting class is going to be something serious or, you know, something impressive. And so, you know, right now you have to take it for what it's worth. But, again, the coaches have proven that they can really close on kids when they get them on campus and they zero in on. So it'll be interesting to see – you know, maybe this time next week what's going on, because I know guys like a Gio Pincotti and a few other kids are going to be making their way out that first, second weekend of April. So they'll have another chance to get some kids on campus and really kind of bend their ear about that next commitment.
Right. And like you kind of said, I guess not like you said, but like we talked about before, while you might not get a ton of commitments from these spring visits, I think that's where you kind of really kind of plant your seed as far as, you know, getting prospects that you feel are serious about your program and prospects you feel really good about. And it's kind of the point where, you know, like I said, the real seed is kind of planted and the real roots grow as far as with prospects that you feel like you're going to, you know, battle for long term. So I think, like you said, as far as we know, there are a couple of guys coming out over the next couple of weeks. But yeah, I think Dante sounds like, you know, he's ready to start, you know, filling a role as a recruiter for this class, mm-hmm. as a couple of guys did last year. You know, Braden Fajoco, and then I think a couple of those guys in the Houston area, like you know, Quan Schwartz, and a couple other guys really got after some guys. So yeah, really excited to see what happens the rest of this spring as far as recruiting goes. That's all I had for tonight. But you got any closing thoughts, Matt?
No, good podcast. I know we hadn't been able to do these things every week, but it's a little bit of a downtime of the year. But we've still got a lot of content coming from the camp stuff. And like we said, there should be another visit weekend here coming up. We'll try to start doing these more on a weekly basis, but maybe even every other week would be better, so we can get some good kids like Marvin and Dante to join us. But good stuff, Will, and until we meet again.
Until we meet again. As always, you guys are listening to the Victory Bells podcast. I'm Will McKay. He's Matt Clare. And hope you guys have a great weekend.
See ya.